Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 21. I'll begin with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the nets to the right side of the boat and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul in because they had so many fish. That the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, and with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter put on board and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many that the net was not torn, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Jesus named Peter the rock of the church. He said, "You were known by the name Simon, but from now on you will be Cephas, Peter, the rock of the church." Peter was indeed one called and commissioned by our Lord to be a leader. What does it take to be a leader? There are many definitions of what a leader is. I'm fond of one by John Maxwell, in which Maxwell says, "If you think you're a leader, but no one is following, then you're only going for a walk. You're not leading." Leaders influence others. And so it is evident in our scripture today, very early in this writing from John, in verse 3, he says to us, "Now Simon Peter said to them, to his friends, 'I'm going fishing.'" And here was their response, "We will go with you." That's a leader. He had an influence on those around him. They followed his lead. And it was central, it seems, in our text today for Jesus to recapture the leadership of Peter on behalf of the church. But there was a question, certainly, in our Lord's mind. Or maybe, if not in our Lord's mind, who already had the knowing, certainly in Peter's mind, how can I lead again? You see, Jesus makes it clear to us as the church that the essential attributes of leadership for His people is to be people of love. To be those who live outside of themselves. To be those, as we heard in our scripture today, this commissioning to tend the sheep. You know who? The lambs. He began with saying, tend the lambs, the most vulnerable, the weakest, the overlooked, the children who are isolated by the addictions in our community, the grandmothers and the mothers whose hearts are aching and staying awake at night by the brokenness of family members. Jesus says, first, tend those lambs, the weakest among us, the most vulnerable. My friend Don Newcomb, the founder of McAllister's Deli and Nukes, he said this about leadership. He said, Jody, when I think of leadership, I think Eleanor Roosevelt said it best when she said, to handle yourself, you use your head. To handle others, you use your heart. He said, leadership is love. If you love your people, those who you're striving to lead, they're going to be so ingrained and committed to the vision and direction and the zealot nature of your mission that they'll never want to let you down. So at the root of our scripture reading today, we're reminded of these two attributes of Peter, leadership and leadership rooted in love. Jesus makes it clear to us how central love is to leadership. As he said in Matthew 22, that very familiar passage to many of us, when Jesus is asked, he'd stump the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was asked by them, teacher, what's the greatest law? What's the most important rule? And Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. And the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus proclaimed there in Matthew that the most important attribute of moving our church forward, of representing Christ in our world, is to love. Deuteronomy also captures this. At the very beginning of the people Israel moving into the promised land, as Moses had journeyed with them out of bondage from Egypt, and he stood on the brink of the promised land, the journey he would not be able to take, and he was preparing them to take what God had promised. This was his last message. As he gave them, Mary John, the Ten Commandments, he said to them this message in Deuteronomy 6, just after delivering the commandments, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And he goes on to say, Moses, talking to the people of Israel, these commandments that I give you today, he says to them, put them on your hearts, impress them upon your children, talk about them when you sit in your home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And he said, tie them even as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your home and on the gates of your city. This is the message, he says, to impress upon all. Love the Lord first and foremost. Friends, that's the essence. That's the essence of our faith. If we want to be leaders in this community, in this church, in our family, then we must be first and foremost people of love. You know, Jesus believed this message, lived this message so much that it was also the very last instructions he gave to his disciples before being arrested, before being denied and abused and falsely accused and crucified. He gathered in what many of us know as an upper room, and he broke bread with his disciples, and he washed their feet. He cared for them, and he ministered to them. And his last message, as recorded in John 13, was this. Jesus said to them, facing his rejection, his betrayal, he said, "My children, I'll only be with you a little longer. You'll look for me, and I won't be there. But," he said, "where I'm going, you cannot go now, but one day you will." And he said, as he prepared to depart them, "A new commandment now I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you should love one another by this." Here at church, by this, by your love, people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, friends, we're living in a culture, in a time, whether it's political debate and discussion, or social issues, where it's become fashionable to be right, for my opinion to weigh out over yours. One of the great gifts of my life, a dear friend of mine, one of the most conservative theologians in my life, said to me a few months ago, he said, "Jody, you know what? The longer I live, I'm learning. God's not really interested in my opinions. But what he really wants from me is my love." You know, Paul said it this way. In Romans 14, Paul said in verse 1, "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions, but welcome them in love." So Jesus is looking to reinstate the leader of the church. And I've got to wrestle with this text today, and I pray you do, about the challenge before the Lord, because you see, Peter has blown it. Friends, Peter has sinned. Not only has Peter denied our Lord three times after his arrest, right? We are all familiar with that. As he stood before the charcoal fire and before the cock crowed three times, he denied even knowing the Lord. Perhaps similar today of us rejecting our very faith. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. And symbolic of the charcoal fire on the Sea of Galilee, it's running through Peter's head. And John MacArthur would say this, a great theologian. MacArthur says, not only did Peter deny Jesus, but Peter also was disobedient to Jesus. You see, the gospel writers tell us that after the resurrection, Mary was messaged by Jesus to say, "Go and tell my disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee, that they are to go and wait for me there." Right? You remember that story? They were to go and wait in Galilee. Peter did right the opposite. He went to Galilee and resumed his old lifestyle. He walked away from the ministry of Christ. He took up his fishing nets again. He disobeyed God's call upon his life. So what's Jesus to do with this one? This broken vessel of the faith. This one who he'd commissioned to lead, who disobeyed him, who denied him, who hurt him. And as Jesus is pondering this question, and we hear in our text today that he asked Peter, "If you love me," hear this, church. What Jesus asked here when he says the first question, "Do you love me?" He says, "Do you have agape love for me?" The highest form of love, divine love, sacrificial love, love that does something, not just love in words, but love that's willing to do for the other. Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me like that?" And Peter says, basically, "No, I don't love you with agape love. I love you with phileo love, with brotherly love. I love you with deep affection." And Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love me with the divine love? Are you willing to go to the grave for me, Peter?" And Peter once again says, "Lord, I'm through playing games. I don't have that type of love. I've tried to say that I've had that type of love, but really I have great affection for you. I love you like a brother, but I'm not willing, God, at this point to put skin in the game. I phileo you." So what to do with this leader? That's the question, friends, before our Lord. And Jesus, the third time, says this, "Peter, no longer do you divinely love me. No longer, Peter, I'm going to ask you, do you love me with every fiber of your being? Peter, I just need to know this one question. Do you phileo me? Do you love me with deep affection?" Peter says yes. And our Lord says that's enough. You see, our Lord comes to us in our sin, in our brokenness, in our shortcomings that far surpass that of Peter. And he says, "Give me the love you have, because my love is made perfect for you." Friends, may we go forth in every way that we can, striving to embody the full nature of love for our Lord. But if we find ourselves at times like Peter, not fully being able to embrace our holy God with every virtue of love he desires, then his love, grace, and forgiveness still embraces us as his children forever. Amen.